prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed. It was at night, and in their pain, oh, they began to sing. Their chains were loosed, and they were free. Oh, I bless your name. Yes, I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise, for you are the life, you're the truth, you're the way. Oh, I bless your name. Yes, I bless your name. One midnight hour, if you should find that you're in a prison in your mind, oh, reach out and praise, defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. Oh, I bless your name. Yes, I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise, for you are the light, you're the truth, you're the way. Yes, I bless your name. Yes, I bless your name. For you are the light. Oh, you're the truth. You're the way. Yes, I bless your name. Yes, I bless your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Now, our first reading today of the scripture is going to be a scripture that you've heard read quite often before. It is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 2 and 3. We'll read that right there to get started here this morning. And I want to take a little thought, being called to a higher level than Paul took us. Amen. Because there were certain things that Paul predicted that did not take place in his day. And one of the things he prophesied about or predicted or wrote about was the saints being changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye at the resurrection of the saints that have passed on. That did not occur, but it is going to occur. And another thing he talked about, he engaged a church to Christ, a Gentile church, He said he engaged a spouse, a virgin, that he might present her unto Christ as a chaste virgin. But we find in Revelation chapter 3, or chapter 2 rather, the very first church age that John was writing, and John says, you're fallen from your first love. And they fell away and went into seven long church ages, but God has brought us back to the original again in this hour, revealing the Word of God to us. Amen. So, I'll read the scripture first here. I am in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Paul said, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy." Now watch his job, what he did. "For I have espoused you to one husband." I have engaged you to become one husband. And it was going here, talking of the Jewish custom his day. Sometimes that espousal lasted 12 months. Different times in history, it lasted different time. But what happened, there would be a ceremonial like. And the man and woman, they would be pledged to one another. And in that day and in that hour, usually it was prearranged by the parents. And that still goes on a lot in Africa today, you know. Prearranged in different countries, Arab countries. So Paul said, "I have espoused you. I've got you engaged." He says here that eventually when the espousal period has expired, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And that was his job, a chaste virgin to Christ. And then he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve through his substance, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom you haven't received, you're to the place where you might, or receive another spirit, you're at the place where you might even bear with him," he said. He's going on reading that. But the point, I don't want to get too much involved in that, but to preach different from what Paul was preaching in that day to the Gentiles was preaching differently. Now, as we look at the church as it started off in its early infancy, we see, first of all, it was strictly to the Jews. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell strictly on Jews, and for the first few years, 6-7 years there, it went to the Jews, but they began to reject it. And God began to fulfill His plan. He told them, "Go not to the Gentiles, go not to the Samaritan, but go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. But later on, as they rejected and fell away, there was a Jewish man on the way to Samaria, I believe, Damascus. Thank you. On the way to Damascus. To persecute this way. But while on the way down, a great light smote him and knocked him to the ground, and those that were with him. And he heard a voice saying, "Paul, Paul, why kickest thou against the prick?" Or, "It's hard for thee to kick against the prick." In other words, to do what you're doing, you're kicking against the prick, because Paul had slightly been acquainted or heard about Jesus prior to this, because when Stephen was stoned to death in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, he held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. His name at that time was Saul. But on the way down to Damascus, God smote him down. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Because he saw the pillar of fire that represented God in the Old Testament. There was no mistaking on him who it was. But he said, I am Jesus. You get this in that chapter, the book of Acts, 22nd chapter, and on through. But he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. The greatest shock Paul ever received. He was so stunned that he had been so wrong. And that this one, actually, those folks were telling the truth. There was a man named Jesus. And he did come, and he did die. So Paul's next statement was, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He said, arise, go into Damascus. Damascus. And says, it'll be told thee what to do. But he said, I'm going to make you a light to the Gentiles, delivering them from the power of Satan to the power of the living God. Now the gospel is going to go to the Gentiles. Now I'm getting this on the virgin part of the early church. Showing you God cut the Jewish nation off and it's going to return back once the bride takes place, rapture takes place and the bride goes in the rapture, see. But as we are looking at the Word of God here, there was a man and two of the main apostles. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. And Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. This is clearly related in the second chapter of the book of Galatians. So they recognized, the Jewish apostles did, that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And that they were to preach to the Jews. And Acts chapter 11 says they went everywhere preaching the word, the Jewish apostles did, but to none but the Jews only. And Peter got a vision from God, Acts chapter 10. And he was on the housetop praying. And he was hungry, and the Bible said he would have eaten. But all of a sudden there came a vision down before him. And it came in the form of a sheep being let down. And on it was all kind of four-footed beasts that for a Jew would definitely be forbidden to eat under the old law. And a voice, the Spirit spoke and said, Peter, arise, kill and eat. And that great apostle began to talk back to the Lord, says, not so, Lord. Says, nothing common or unclean has ever come into my mouth, and now you're telling me to eat some of these animals that's unclean? And the voice came back and said, what God has cleansed, call that not thou common or unclean. Amen. Oh, Peter, he's getting shook up like Paul was. See, God was doing a new thing. Today, people get shook up when the Word began to come in a new, powerful way of today, see. Hallelujah. There's the wife of the Lamb in this hour, and John wrote about in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. It says, talking about the Lamb's wife, says his wife has made herself ready, not virgin. There's no virgin that's a wife, because it takes the consummation of a marriage to seal it, see. So there's a people being married to Christ, and first of all we must recognize, what is Christ? Well, the answer is very clear when we look in St. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, see? And then we find that Word was made flesh, which was Christ. Hallelujah. And so we find that Jesus Christ was the Word made manifest. It was that was with the Father to begin with. Amen. And so as we look at that, then he's going to take a wife. The wife has to be exactly the same thing he is. He can't be the Word and she be a denomination. Or be believe creeds or dogma or anything. Has to be strictly right down the line, becoming exactly what he is, the Word, because she become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and have the mind of Christ, and is baptized into the body of Christ. And Colossians 1:13 says that we're delivered out of the power from the powers of the enemy and translated into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've been translated. Amen. I'm not talking about the physical here. As everyone clearly knows, I'm speaking of our spirits, our aim, our goal. And to be a Christian, Paul brought this to a higher level. But I don't want to leave a blank spot here. I want to go back and get the Peter, after he received that vision saying, go, kill and eat, all of a sudden there was three men there at the door knocking. And they said, have you got a man here named Peter? Simon Peter? Because Cornelius, a Gentile, had been praying and an angel came down. And said, stand for one named Peter. He'll tell you all the words of this lie. Amen. This is in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And as Peter reluctantly obeyed God and went to Cornelius' house. And Cornelius immediately told him about the angel and told him what happened. And he had all his kindred gathered together. And he said, we're just here to hear what you have to say. And the Bible says Peter opened his mouth and began to speak. And while he spoke, the Holy Ghost fell upon him. Amen. They received the same thing the Jews did on the day of Pentecost. Now the gospel has been taken out of the court of the Jews and put over here in the Gentiles. And the Gentiles is to be the wife of the Lamb. The Jews is always known as the brethren. Amen. They were the brother of Christ, not the wife of Christ. Hallelujah. And I've always said many times to make it real plain and simple. I've always said there's a lot of difference in your brother and your wife. Amen. And that's what the Jews looked to more as the brethren of Christ. He came as a seed of Abraham and as a seed of David in that lineage of the Jews. But he took a Gentile wife as Joseph did down in Egypt. While the brethren was out, he took a Gentile wife and she became the queen of Egypt. Second ruler of all Egypt, Joseph was. But the point I'm making here is that the gospel come over to the Gentile, and it's called her, she. The church is always referred in the feminine sense, and Paul is referring to it here. Said, I have espoused you as a chaste virgin that I may present you to Christ to be his wife. Amen. But I fear lest the old serpent get. And the serpent did exactly like it did in the garden. He came, as he came to Eve, he also came to the church that was engaged to Christ and began to feed her some creeds and dogma and things contrary to the Word and began to try to get her back under law. And the book of Galatians clearly shows us this. Paul said, you haven't been delivered. Why would you desire to be in bondage again? Be entangled with the yoke of bondage, the law. See, he said, but you're saved by grace and not of works. That's a Gentile. Amen. Now, we're looking here. That started the church off, but it went through seven church ages. And, of course, there's writings on the interpreter's book and all. So I'm not going to touch that today because it would extend the sermon on that and make it longer than I want to go today. Amen. But he brought it back in the last days. Hallelujah. And that throughout the seven church ages, there was seven messengers. And Paul, God used Paul to become that first messenger there. Amen. And his job weren't completed. Hallelujah. His job, there's a higher level than Paul took to church. In that engagement, a marriage is a higher level than engagement, see. There's to be a wife. Now, how are you going to become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh? First, by being the Word, being part of God. Now, when Jesus came, he was part of God, the Word. Now, if the original there says Logos, which is a thought, well, the book of Ephesians chapter 1 put you in the exact same category. Hallelujah. That he ordained you before the foundation of the world. That he saw you. And he even put your names on the book of life. And he thought of you. Thus you becoming a thought of God, an attribute of God, a gene of God, when you're born of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Now, we come into the thought. everybody's born has a natural birth, see. And that was to be all it would take. A natural birth. Be born in the world. But man fell away and sinned against God, starting with Adam and Eve in the garden. And God used sacrifice and offering up to the time Jesus came. Hallelujah. When he preached the word, talked to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, I know you're a teacher of God. No man do these miracles without God being with him. Says, what must I do? And you know the story, I believe, the third chapter of St. John. And he said, except you be born again, you cannot see, you can't even see the kingdom of God, because this is a spiritual kingdom. See? Amen. And Nicodemus said, wait just a minute here. And he was a teacher of the law. He was one that was high up in the Jewish realm, and they studied the Bible, the scrolls. They had certain men that's called scribes, and they just they be sure they got every T cross, every I dotted, and be sure they got everything right, the natural word. But then here come the word walking right down amidst them, and they couldn't recognize it. Jesus Christ is the Word, was the Word, and still is the Word, and you're part of it because you were with Him in His thinking back then, and that made you a gene of God, an attribute of God, so you become the Word, and when you hear the Word, something responds in your heart, and you can't help it. It's a deep calling under the deep. Hallelujah. I've told you many times a story how in a steel mill, how they have a big magnet sometimes. And shavings that come from the steel, where they grind off and drill and make certain parts and do all the cutting and grinding. And that magnet will go down through, and every one of those metal shavings will be drawn to that magnet immediately. Hallelujah, because they're magnetized to it. But now, the same company makes certain things out of aluminum. And aluminum is not magnetized to it. It'll pass right over that aluminum and never move it. The same thing with this gospel today. If you were part of that word in the beginning, if you were with him in the beginning, you'll be there in the end. And when you hear this word, it'll set your heart on fire. You'll hear the deep calling to the deep. You'll hear a voice from afar. Hallelujah. Paul spoke and he says, some of you say, I'm a Paul. Some Apollos. And all that. He said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Says, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. In other words, what he was saying was that it's not Paul. It's not Apollos. You've got to see beyond me why I'm saying what I'm saying. You've got to see who's anointing me. You've got to see that this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us today, just as it was in the days of Paul. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying I'm the Lord Jesus. I'm saying the anointing, the inspiration. Hallelujah. Amen. So, as we look at this, the gospel, Peter preaching the gospel fell on the Gentile. And he had six other brothers with him there. And it so shook them up. But Peter said, who can forbid water but these should be baptized? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. The only name anybody after Pentecost was ever baptized. No one was ever baptized till the Catholic Church at the Nicaea Council. There they changed it into a formula of Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. But all that you'll find reading in the Bible and in history, up to 325 A.D., they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter told them on the day of Pentecost, repent everyone, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And there in Acts 10, when the gospel came to the Gentile, he commanded them, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul found people there that was converted under John and they'd been following John 40 years. And that's all they knew, the baptism of John. Now what John formula John used, if he used any name, it doesn't say he baptized for. unto the remission of sins, so on. But when they heard what Paul had to say, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. Acts 19, 1 through 5, 6, and 3. Amen. And we don't know anything about this. Well, Paul said, John preached about one that was to come. And said, him that was to come, he has already come. He's died for your sin. And his name was Jesus. And you must be baptized in that way. And when they heard Paul preaching and talking, amen, they immediately were baptized in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you'll never find anywhere where anybody baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, using those titles, because Father's not a name, Son's not a name, Holy Ghost's not a name. Those are titles that was attributed because God's the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. But there's one name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only name given for the remission of your sin. In the Old Testament, we hear the word atonement a lot. That means covering. Amen. He killed a bullock, killed a lamb. That's what the priest did to make an atonement for the people. Amen. But it didn't remit their sins. Every year they had to come back and do the same thing over again. The book of Hebrews makes this very clear along with the Old Testament. But the point is, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, born again, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says it's for the remission. It takes them away, forget them. As you were born again one time in the natural, you can only be born again one time in the spiritual. And as you can make mistakes as you live your life through the natural, you can make mistakes as you're living your life for the Lord, but you don't go and get born again. You just say, Lord, forgive me. Is that right? Now, we talked about Nicodemus. He says, you must be born again. Well, how can I do that? He said, you must be born of the Spirit. See, the first birth got messed up. See, the serpent got to Eve and talked her in notion to breaking the Word of God. And the world says, eat an apple. Well, how come eating an apple would bring forth a Cain, see? Amen. No such thing. He was something similar to a human being. He could talk, walk, and all before the curse. Now, amen. He had an intimate relationship with Eve, and she became pregnant and brought forth a child. Then she, as soon as that happened, she went to Adam and told Adam about it. And Adam listened to her, and Adam followed the same route there. He knew he shouldn't do it. He weren't deceived. Eve was. The woman was deceived, not the man. She thought she was doing what was right. Adam knew he was doing wrong, but he did it anyway. And there was two children born, Cain and Abel. And they were half-brothers. And God smote the old serpent, and he became like a crawling reptile, a snake. And but he already had his seed here. It's in the world today. It's those that can't hear the word. Not any certain race. Or anyone, someone might say, Brother Howard, do you think I'm a seed of God? How can I tell if I'm a seed of God? Are you part of the Word? Can you hear the Word? Can you believe the Word? What do the Word do for you when it's preached? Some would like to, believe in a denomination. They go there because it's mixed, see. I was preaching, and I told this before, forgive me for being repetitious here because I feel it would be profitable. I was preaching in Athens, Georgia, a meeting, and there came a nice, well-dressed man, sat down, him and his wife, and he brought his notebook, and he was taking a lot of notes, and I encourage you to take notes if you like. It don't bother me a bit taking notes, and I like for you to. But he was taking notes like one thing. Well, I said, well, this man here, when I get through, he's getting him something to get on me about. Well, I was preaching about how to hybrid corn. And of course, I knew personally how to do it and all that. But take and cut the tassels off one, let it wind blow the pollen over and all that hybrid. Make better corn, but don't try to plant it over and over because it'll die. It'll bring forth little ears of corn. They call it blasted ears. it won't bring forth anything after a while. It'll completely run out, see. But that original, you can plant it 10,000 years from now and it'll still be good, and it'll never, as long as you don't mix it. If you mix it, you ruin it. You make a, now that's what people did. Well, he came to me after I got through. He said, "A preacher." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'd like to shake hands with you." I said, "All right." He said, "Next week I am got a." He introduced himself. "I am the over the agriculture department of the University of Georgia." He told me his name. I forgot at that time. But he said, "Next week we're going to be on some of those things you were preaching on," and said, "To be quite honest, some of them I didn't know exactly how to approach it, and what took place, and how to get the pollen and what the high breeding process. I didn't know it." He said, "But now I just can't hardly wait for lessons next week, because I see it perfectly." And so, him being a university teacher there, head of the university agriculture department. But the point is, you can't high breed it; it kills it. And that's why death is in the human family today. Man was not born to die. Woman was not born to die. We were not born needing a new birth. That first birth should have taken care of it all, but it got hybrid in the Garden of Eden. And then hybrid all the way through. God made atonement through the killing of lambs and so on. And then one day Jesus came as a true seed straight from God. He was the seed of God, the Word of God, and He came and He died on the cross, hallelujah, and sent back His Spirit in the church that anoints that Word. If you're part of that, then you've got the same eternal life He's got, hallelujah, and you're His the Word became flesh in Him, but your flesh become Word, see. You'll get so that Word's the only thing that matters. Paul, he spoke and said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not me that's living, but it's Christ living in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. So we're made part of that. Now we're getting ready for our marriage. That's why we have been hybrid. All of us, whole human race, everybody needs a Savior. I don't care how good a mama and daddy is and how much they teach a child or whatever they do, the child still needs a new birth. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And upon that new birth, we begin to learn the Word. We begin to grow in grace. We begin to dehybrid ourselves from that all that old carnal nature. That's why it said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you love the world, the love of God's not in you." We are being united to Him. He's taken a wife, and as He takes His wife, she has become exactly what He is, and what is He? He is the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. He's the Son of God. And He took from the Gentile, not Jews. The Jews are the brethren. They accepted the same gospel, being born again, just like the Gentile. But the Gentile, the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, it said that He was to call out of the Gentiles. The Gentiles, a people for His name's sake. When a man and woman marry, she takes on His name. Unless it's some of this Hollywood stuff going on, but I won't get into all that, you know. Amen. But I'm glad to take on His name, aren't you? In water. But somebody said, "Well, I want to be a Christian, but I won't take on His name." Just say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, you ain't said no name. Amen. All right. Now, we're going on here. He said that He would espouse you as a chaste virgin. First place, that virgin, that only lasted for about 1 year, 12 months. As a general rule, now there's different times in history, and I'm not going into all the history lessons, I'm just giving you one example, because we could give you many. But she stayed a virgin until that certain time they had the marriage ceremony set. And when the marriage ceremony set, It was used, if it was a widow, it was about 3.5 day. But if it was a virgin, it was a seven day time of festivity. And then the bride and the bridegroom went away together and consummated the marriage, see. And then she became bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. That's in the book of Genesis. And Paul brought it too. He said in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, Paul speaking, quoting this, he says, we become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. He said, this is a great mystery that a man and woman unite together. He's saying it's a tie. He said, but I'm speaking here of Christ and the church. Hallelujah. That's the 5th chapter of Ephesians. And she become the same thing he is. And that's what's happened. There's a church married to Christ. And that's what goes up in the rapture. Hallelujah. Nothing else. You'll find in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthews that there's 10 virgins. 5 wise and 5 foolish. Amen. Think about that. They were all virgins. But the 5 had let the oil go out of their lamp. The lamp was going out. But there was 5 kept their lamp trimmed and kept it burning. Hallelujah. And when the bridegroom came, they that were ready went in and the door was shut. Then the other virgin come knocking. Let us in, let us in. And he said, I know you not. They were born again people, and I know you not. Didn't mean they didn't know they exist. It didn't mean they weren't saved. But intimately, he didn't know them. See, he had not become one with them. He had not been intimate with them. Amen. So the day that were ready went in, the door was shut. Then the later on, the others, they tried to get prayed up, and they come knocking and wanting in, see. But he takes his wife and that alone into the bride chamber. Now, I brought it in the other week, but I'll refresh you on here. In a marriage, there is 2 parts. Amen. There's the ceremonial part. And everybody's invited to the ceremonial. All the friends, neighbors, and so on invited to come to the wedding, come to the ceremonial part. But that, if it don't go no further than that, she hadn't become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. That's the ceremonial part. But when he took his wife and went into the marriage chamber, everybody else went home, see. Hallelujah. But she became one with him. That's what's happening. He's going to take his wife into glory. Paul wrote about it. It didn't happen. We've moved up to a higher level than Paul was. Paul, he prophesied about it. And he said that I might present you to Christ, but he didn't. Although when the resurrection takes place, he'll present those they talk to there to Christ. But there's a living element of people. The Bible says in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, amen, that we'll be changed in the moment, twinkling eye, but said the dead's going to rise first. And also chapter 4, that the dead in Christ's going to rise first. Hallelujah. And then we which are alive and remain, and that's us today, we will be changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye to be caught up to meet the Lord and go to the marriage supper while God take the gospel back to the brethren, which is the Jews, Revelation chapter 11. 2 prophets come over there and begin to prophesy while him and his wife's in the marriage chamber. Amen. Him and his wife's in glory. There'll be a people left here on earth. They'll be called a foolish virgin. And there'll be tribulation saints. And they'll have to live through this awful time period, which will be the great tribulations and all. Amen. So, these things, but he's calling us a little higher. Now, John was picked up after the church ages in Revelation chapter 4. And when he was picked up, he heard a voice. And that voice said, come up higher. And then he got up. He was picked up in heaven. Then he heard a trumpet talking. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you got any Holy Ghost sense today and know what's going on, you can hear a trumpet talking today. And maybe I should word like this. If you're part of Him, you're to be His wife, there's a trumpet, and this trumpet is talking because the Lord Himself is in heaven with a shout, the first phase, the voice of the archangel. But the trumpet, that's what raised the dead. Hallelujah. And I pray that if you're not raised from the dead, you will be before this service comes to a close. And that needs to be right quick. Amen. Amen. All right. There's a trumpet talking. And that's what gives you rapturing faith. Amen. That's what brings you in. That's what caused you in Christ to be married. Amen. You are, somebody said, well, I just want to be a virgin to the Word. Well, that's had its day and had its time, and that was good. But I don't want to be just a virgin to the Word. I want to be His wife. And there's no wife that's a virgin. When you're married to Him, you're not a virgin anymore. You're His wife because you become intimate with Him. As we look at the church ages, there was Martin Luther came out in the 15th century, began to preach the Word of God, the just shall live by faith, and that was a reformation. The Catholic called him a loose cannon, and he set Germany on fire with a revival. But when more truth come, amen, the baptism, the Holy Ghost and all, Luther, he backed away, and they wouldn't become further part with Christ. And they began to burn Catholic homes. Some of them did, not at the Luther's approval. And there's some Luther's disciple. Luther said, you're not my disciple doing stuff like that. But then over in England, God anointed a man named John Wesley. Hallelujah. And he said, we don't only need to live by faith, be born again, but we need to live a sanctified life. And England was on fire. The Lutherans said, that's of the devil. Amen. And then there was a great revival. John Wesley, and of course the Methodist Church followed him. And the point being here, in 1906, there was a colored man down on Azusa Street praying in California. And he was praying about the gifts of the Spirit. He saw them in the Word, and he began to speak in tongues. And then they began to speak in tongues. People began to come, fall, and prosper on the floor. Great revival went. The Methodist said, that's all the devil, that talking in tongues is. But God didn't stop. He just kept right on moving. He's moving us up. He's moving us up. And He's moved us up to this present day. God sent a seventh church age messenger. People say, if He didn't say it, I'm not going to say it. Well, you're not going in the bride. You're not going in the rapture. You're not going to be married to Him. Because he had his time, his age, he preached the gospel, he did well, but he's gone on to be with God. And when he died, that cut that message off right then and there. But God had something already in store to carry us on. And then God used the great apostle Raymond Jackson in Jeffersonville, Indiana. He picked it up there and he showed us what's going to happen to the Jews in tribulation, brought all that in. And there's a group following him. If Brother Jackson didn't say it, I'm not going to believe it. Well, God took him home in 2004, but God already had a message laid back. That's been going since the 50s. Hallelujah. That came into play. Amen. This message has been going since in the 50s. Hallelujah. And this message for one purpose. Paul's message was for one purpose. It was to get the bride engaged to Christ. This message is get a wife married to Christ. And she's got married to him. Praise the Lord. So, we've got to move on with God. Somebody said, well, I just want to be a virgin. Well, I saw a little movie. I didn't watch it. I just saw a title. I believe it was on the movie called 27 Dresses. I think this lady, she's been the bridesmaid 27 times or something. Well, people, they're happy to be the bridesmaid. I don't want to be a bridesmaid. I want to be the bride, don't you? Amen. So there's a message to get you married to Christ. The question is, can you hear it? And you can if you are predestinated to hear it. And when you are predestinated to hear it and you hear it, everything else will sound like it's like Him. Amen? Okay, getting a few amens here, that's all right. It don't hurt me a bit. And maybe I won't have to say it so much. Just going on here a little bit. But I tell you, God's Word's good, ain't it? Hallelujah. Now, when we see John picked up, hear the voice of Trump, then we go to Revelation chapter 10. Where Christ, after He takes the book as a lamb in heaven. And I had this question asked me a time or two. And I've dealt with it some in days gone by, but I'll just go over a little bit. Somebody said, that lamb in heaven, He went and took the book out of God's hand. You know, so there got to be two in the Godhead. Two persons. No, there's one person. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. God's the Spirit and always has been, always will be. That one sitting on the throne with the Lord Jesus Christ sitting in the throne of God. And this lamb came forth out of the throne. Who was that lamb? That lamb did not exist in reality. Jesus Christ has never had seven horns and seven eyes. That bloody lamb that come forth in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation took that book, had seven horns and seven eyes. That was typical of the seven church ages, seven messengers. And He took the book, and He was the only one worthy. Next time He opened those seals, and He sent the revelation down to earth. Amen. And then we see Him coming back with a book open. But He didn't keep it for Himself. And remember in heaven the voice said, who's worthy to take the book? There was nobody in heaven, nobody in the earth, nobody on the earth, nobody nowhere that could take the book. But here come a lamb. He paid the price. All right. And that lamb, that scene goes away because it came into being to show us, to make a statement. And it went away the same way. There never have been a lamb in heaven with seven eyes and seven horns. And Jesus has never had seven eyes and seven horns. That was just a pictorial scene to give a message to us as to what happened. When Jesus come back then in Revelation 10 with the book open, hallelujah, and the thunders are, the mysteries are finished out, the church ages. We know we've come through seven church ages. We know that's behind. Then John become a very type of the bride. The voice speak to him and said, go. Voice from heaven, the voice of authorization said, go get the little book that's in the hand of the angel. Now remember, in heaven nobody was worthy. Only He was worthy. Then how can He give it to a people in earth? God gave us His own righteousness and made us worthy. The fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians verse 21 says that Christ, He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, He took all of our sin, paid for them on the cross, and gave us His very own righteousness. Now we have the righteousness of God. Any righteousness that you've got of your own is a filthy rag. It won't get you through. You've got to say, Lord, give me Your righteousness. Give me Your faith. Give me Your gift. Give me Your life. Lord, I want to be in You all in all that's becoming His wife. Hallelujah. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, ready to go up in the rapture as His wife. Hallelujah. All right. Then we see that John went and took the book being a type of church. He spoke to the angel for the first time. The angel spoke to John, and John spoke to the angel. Now the voice of Almighty, which is God in spirit form, spoke to John, said, go get the book, seal the book, and then go get it, open the seal. But here the mighty angel, which is Christ, which is typical of what's taking place today. Christ is among us in spirit form. Hallelujah, He's come back. Hey, man, He's come back to earth because now we've come through the fallen seven church ages. Now He come to marry a wife. And to proceed there, He has apostolic office just like in the days of Paul. Hallelujah. That can read the marriage vows to you right out of a little book and cause you to become one with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. So John went and took the book being a type of the church now, which is the ministry in the church, all male and female, the feminine, all the members of the body that's been baptized by, he walked up and takes the book. Well, in heaven, nobody was worthy. How could John take it here on earth if nobody's worthy in heaven? The Lamb made him worthy. And the only way you can take this message, this word, and be part of Him, amen, walk up to Him with total confidence. Say, Lord, I'm yours and you're mine. Amen. That's saying, I will, when He said, will you marry me? Hallelujah. He gives you His very own righteousness, and you're as righteousness as righteous as He's righteous. Book of Romans, the 5th chapter, says He gives you the gift of righteousness. And there's not one thing you can do to earn it. The only thing you can do is accept it. Lord, I believe. I accept. Praise God. Become the very wife of the Lamb to go to the marriage supper. That's the message you're hearing today. It's blasting out. God's made a way to get all over the entire world. And not one time has we ever had to come in and say, will you give me so much money or will you do this or do that? No. God makes a way. Amen. Amen. There was a man over in one of the other states. One of the western states. He did horses. He got here and did. He said, Brother Howard, I know you don't ask for no money, don't even have something on the internet where we can send you money. But I said, God spoke to me and told me to send you this check, $5,000. Amen. See, that's what God does. Somebody said, one lady and husband came up to me and Barbara over in Gainesville. I heard we'd been over in Africa, 5 different nations this time. Stayed 5 weeks. But said, you know, I tried to sell donuts, and I tried to sell this, and I tried to sell pins, and I tried to do all this. I can't raise enough money to go. How do you raise it? Amen. I've never tried to raise any. I just go. Amen. We've never left a string of debts behind us either. Amen. If God sends you, He will pay the bill. If He don't pay the bill, you can know assuredly He didn't send you. You're doing Him a service without it being His will, and it means nothing. We're building on the foundation that Paul laid. We're not staying with it, just with the foundation. We're not going off, but we're going up from it. Paul said, leaving the foundation of repentance and all these things, going to perfection. That's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Amen. We go on to perfection. We don't leave the foundation in that we get off and go over here somewhere else and build on the dirt. No, we leave the foundation in that we build on it and we go up from the foundation. Because Paul introduced the virgin. Hallelujah. And we are getting that virgin married to Christ by the good word of God. Amen. Going a little higher than Paul's message brought us. But we couldn't be here if it wasn't for Paul. Paul was the one brought us here. Paul was the one told us what to do. Paul was the one laid it in the Word that says, this virgin will be married. And he said, I've espoused you that I may present you, but God took him home. Amen. But it didn't take the Word home. The Word's still right. The prophecy's still right. The marriage is on. And we're right in the middle of it. God bless you. We've already been to the ceremonial part. Now we're in the intimate part. That's the reason I tell you, hey man, we're not religious. I ain't got a speck of religion. Don't want none. Hallelujah. I got Jesus living in my heart, and He so outweighs and outdoing so much joy that religion can't even hold a candle. It's like trying to hold a candle against the sun. Amen. Is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you love Him now? Amen. I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary. One more time. Will I love Him? Sing it to Him. I love You, Lord, because You first loved me and You purchased my salvation on cruel Calvary. Amen. All right. Amen. God bless you. The message is over. All right. I wonder if there's anybody have anything to say before we go. Anybody want to be prayed for? Praise God. Amen. I tell you, I've had a good time today. I've had just a real good time. Hallelujah. When I had my heart attack, doc said, now don't get too excited and all this, that, and the other. And now they say, do what you want. Barbara said, how about going to Africa? He says, well, he said, you can die in Africa as good as you can here. So God bless you. Amen. All right. All right. We're glad for each one. Glad to have our visitors. Amen. Sister Grace, we're glad to have you and come back and visit us again. God bless you. All right. Anybody have anything to say before we go? Amen. If not, I've had a good time, haven't you? Amen. It feels good to be his wife. Not just a virgin, we've come to a higher level. You did? Amen. I tell you, the one mind, one accord, isn't it? Amen. I tell you what, it's all right. He's all right, ain't he? We used to sing a song, he's all right, he's all right. Amen. So, if no one has anything to say, God bless you.